It's time for the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with your hosts, Scotty P. and Ev. Let's get to it. Live once again in the city of brotherly love, none other than Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, broadcasting from and hanging out in the WWDB 860 AM studios. Yes, you heard right. You tune yourself into another episode of the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with your hosts, Scotty P. and Ev. Good evening, Philadelphia, Bucks County, Montgomery County, Delco, and Southwest New Jersey. But folks, we don't stop there. We are entering eardrums anywhere that you got access to the internet. Stream us live every Friday at 6 p.m. EST on WWDBAM.com. Well, we have a special surprise Friday Mental Health Power Hour marathon going on. Thank you so much to our producers there. By the way, my name's Evan Transu, aka Ev, and I am a professional speaker in the youth mental health space.
And what's going on, everybody? Happy Friday. This is your boy Scotty P, aka Scott Prendergast, aka whatever you really want to call me for the day. And I'm a professional inspirational speaker who helps others navigate life through the lens of hope.
All right. Well, we are hyped up on this Friday night. We have a couple of guests in house. We'll be introducing them soon, just shouting them out. But we have an interview tonight, and that's going to be super fun. Now, when we do interviews on the show, because it's not every week, we break it down a little differently. The first 10 minutes will be Scott and I kind of going back and forth, introducing the topic. Then we'll briefly introduce our guest, take a little commercial break, and then the rest of the show is going to be fun with our guest. And I think this is a really special thing tonight because the guest that we're going to have on is someone that is not a PhD in this, not a psychologist, right? They're not even in the mental health space. And it's actually because of that that they are probably going to be one of the best guests we've ever had on in terms of relatability, I think. This is someone that dealt with mental health issues and started experiencing symptoms for the first time just over the last couple of years. I'm sure no one can relate to that, that's for sure. So we think it's really valid to have someone come on and talk about it. And also, as a friend of his, and Scott's a friend of his as well, I loved the way that he handled it. He didn't allow the stigma around mental health issues to affect his process in the treatment or treatment process. So I just thought that was really cool and really admirable. It's something that I want people to hear about. And Scott, I know, I mean, both you and I can relate to this in some sense. I was dealing with mental health issues from a pretty young age. If I remember correctly, it started for you, what, in middle school, high school area?
Yeah, for me, mental health issues really became prominent in high school. Now, I saw the signs a lot, looking back on it now, I was able to see those signs when I was younger, middle school, even elementary school, but it didn't become something that really started to overtake my life until high school and then into college. Right. So I think what's cool about our guest today is that we're going to be talking about stuff. And this is an everyday person experience. This is not some celebrity who's doing a show. Go out and seek help, everybody. It's going to be okay. No, this is real life stuff. This is stuff that you're dealing with, your parents are dealing with, your brothers, your sisters. And that's why we do this show, is we want to make this relatable for everybody. And that's exactly what our guest is going to do today.
I know for myself, especially having been 5 years old, I mean, my first response to dealing with these symptoms was not like, oh, okay, I know what I need to do. I need to talk about this stuff properly and go to a counselor and seek help. Right. That was not my impression with this at all. But you know, you could say, oh, well, he was five, so that's just what happened to him. But I mean, you were older, right? And this was not like something that you got help for immediately, correct?
Yeah, correct, Ev. So for me, the biggest thing was that I didn't acknowledge it for a long time. I would have admitted that it was anything else in this world before I admitted that it was depression because of the stigma associated with it. And I didn't feel like I was comfortable or in a space where I could talk about that because of my own insecurities. I had a family who was so willing to talk about it and they helped me tremendously. But at the end of the day, I had to take that first step to being comfortable with it, to say, okay, I need to acknowledge this in my life. I need to work through this in a way that is going to help me, that's going to be good for me before I can, you know, really start to see some changes in my life.
It's interesting to me, and I don't know if I'm just biased with the group of people that we're associated with, but I hear so often that it takes, on average, young people around 6 to 9 months to actually ask for help for the first time. I mean, that was not even close to the truth for me, time frame wise. Was that, I feel like that wasn't, you were a few years, right?
Yeah, I was around like 5 years. I mean, it took me to where I got to a point where I knew I couldn't do this anymore because I was in such an engulfed place by all these feelings, and this depression and the sadness completely overtook my life that I was like, okay, I have nowhere to go except to reach out to someone now. Yeah. Because if I don't, I'm not sure what's going to happen. And that's where I really got to that point.
That's what you've heard me say before. That was like the aha moment for me. Right. I'm like, okay, this, the Evan Transu plan objectively is not working. There's not much more else to lose here other than some form of homelessness if like my family didn't want to tolerate this anymore. Right. So it's probably time to do something productive with it. And we absolutely don't want people to get anywhere close to that, right? This should be something that, you know, if you broke your arm, and this sounds ridiculous, it should sound just as ridiculous for mental health. If you broke your arm, you wouldn't wait 6 to 9 months to go to the doctor and try to, maybe I get this thing checked out, right? No, you would go immediately. That's just what we do. And it's probably even pretty similar with most sicknesses. Even if you had like the flu, you might wait a couple days. Fine, I get that. We're not going to turn our whole life upside down for a little symptom. But no, we shouldn't have to struggle with this stuff physically or mentally long term. And I think this person that we're going to talk to today is a really great example of that. And again, I know for myself, the stigma was there. I didn't really understand what I was dealing with. Mm-hmm. And this is why I'm not sure if you agree. I think we're usually on the same page with this stuff. I think the pandemic has a little bit of a blessing in disguise.
Absolutely.
Because I think what we're seeing now is mental health was forced to come out and be part of the main topic everywhere. Mm. I mean, people that have never spoken about this stuff have had to face this maybe with a family member, a friend, or even themselves. So I think we're about as bad as it's going to get in terms of just like, what do we do? The counselors have lines out the doors. They got 3 months wait list right now. You know, people are willing to get help and they can't get it. Mm-hmm. I think this is about as bad as it's going to get. And then the good news is, though, we're going to come up on the other side. Because most people don't know. It was actually our mutual friend, Jordan Burnham, who taught me about this. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that cancer had a stigma around it one time.
That was
like something that people were judged for. They didn't think it was a big deal. Now, all of us grew up, we would never think twice about that, right? We wouldn't say like, oh, cancer, that's a serious thing. No one has ever in this group here disrespected someone with that. And yet it was stigmatized at one point. And why? Most stigma just comes from ignorance. And so I think now that this is in this mass level of awareness, we're actually going to come up on the other side. And this is going to be a routine thing where, people deal with it just like physical health symptoms and they get help accordingly. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think we could sit here all day and we could look at all the things that everybody's lost in their life because of this pandemic. All the things that'll never be the same. All the things that are taken away. How we'll never get back to this or that. And we hear this all the time. But, you know, if we really step back and take a view at this, there's a lot of good that could come from it too. And mental health is on the forefront of that. Now in schools, me and Ev both go to school sometimes and we see it firsthand. We see that, wow, this is something the teachers want to bring up all the time. This is something the administrators, and getting administrators on board sometimes can be difficult with changes, right? But now they want to do it. So there is a lot of good that's going to come from it. And we have to remember that. And we have to remember the same thing in our lives when we're struggling with our mental health, when we're in that dark place, when we're really in a difficult time in our lives, there is still good that's going to come from that. And we have to hold on to that and remember that. And we have to know that when we talk about it, when we acknowledge it, when we bring other people around to talk about it, we're not only helping ourselves, but you better believe we're helping somebody else too.
Right.
Because you might be giving that person the validation that they feel that they need to finally talk about what they're going through, rather than keeping it bottled up inside like I know I did for years, and Ev, I know that you did as well.
Yeah, and that's why it's incredible being able to do the jobs that we do, or even this show, because again, you never, if you get someone to ask for help maybe earlier on and they say to you, hey, you know, you helped out, that's great. Mm-hmm. You have no idea, and neither do they, how much pain was probably just avoided long term because they got help at that time. I know, like with the kids and stuff, if I'm talking to especially young kids like 5th, 6th, 7th grade, I'm thinking about what they just did, the choice that they just made to actually get help. They're like, oh yeah, I relate to this, I'm going to do something. And then I think about myself, 5th, 6th, 7th grade, that was before any of the real stuff was happening, you know? So they might not even ever realize what was going to occur. And that's just something I'm super grateful for. It makes it an awesome job. It actually makes it really worth dealing with the things that we dealt with. Yeah. And like you said, we go into schools and we hear people having conversations about this. My favorite, because it's, and I'm not laughing at it, I'm just laughing because it's so shocking to me, are how many schools have these mental health clubs led by other students. They're like, oh yeah, our mental health club has like 30 members. I'm like, the mental health club? I'm like, if I talked about a panic attack, someone would have like shoved me in the locker. You know what I mean? That just wasn't a thing that we talked about. And we're not old. I mean, everyone in here is 25, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of crazy how quick it's changed. But hey, we are almost at our first commercial break, but I want to just briefly introduce our guest. We don't have a bio, right? Again, he's not a PhD or someone in the mental health space. Great friend of mine named Eric Katz. And Scott actually went to school with him as well. So Eric, really one of the happiest, nicest guys that you'll ever meet. Always a smile on his face. You know, went to college, West Virginia University, got out of that, immediately started his own business. And that wasn't even necessarily something you went to school for, right? Did you go for business?
It was one of my...
Like a minor?
Minors.
Yeah. Well, the point is, even if it was his major, he comes out, starts walking dogs, turns that into this giant facility that is now growing in only a matter of years. I'm very successful in what he's doing. But, you know, just the last year or two, he calls me up and was sharing some of the stuff that was going on. And I thought the way that he handled it was great. And his experience, though, was probably so relatable to what people have dealt with in the last 2 years. So we're going to talk to him all about what it's like to deal with mental health for the first time right after these quick commercial breaks.
Hey everyone, Eric Katz here, the owner of Katz Dogs Canine. Are you working from home and need to get your dog out running around for the day? Will you be traveling this summer and looking for a place to board your pup? Is your dog looking a little shaggy and need a haircut or bath? Are you looking forward to walking around and enjoying this beautiful weather, but you can't because your dog's pulling like a freight train? Well, you're in luck. We are a one-stop shop that focuses on daycare, boarding, grooming, and training. We are located at 35 Middle Road, Percocet, PA, on 10 beautiful acres. You can check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Katz Dogs Canine or our website, katzdogscanine.com. Our phone number is 855-CATS-DOG, 855-528-9364.
If you're a parent who wants to understand the mental health challenges your child faces, then my book, My Perfect Life, How Depression Almost Ended It and How I Found Purpose Through Pain, is for you. Through goofy, relatable stories, you'll see the world from the eyes of someone silently battling depression. Most importantly, you'll learn how we can find hope and purpose through pain. Get your copy of My Perfect Life today. Available on Amazon by searching Lucas Wolf, My Perfect Life. And that's Wolf with an E.
Tired of talk radio shows that are nothing but Trump, Trump, and more Trump? Looking for something that actually has some relevance to your life? Then tune into The Pennsylvania Project. Hi, I'm Ken Krawchuk, host of The Pennsylvania Project. Our mission is to showcase the political, cultural, and environmental challenges facing contemporary Pennsylvania, and we're all about solutions. So tune in Mondays, 3 p.m. here on WWDB, 860 a.m. in Philadelphia. When the problem is same old talk radio, the correct solution is The Pennsylvania Project.
Hey folks, what's going on? It's Evan Transu, a.k.a. Ev here. I just wanted to shout out my friends at FDN Thrive. Part of my story with mental health is that I was actually able to get a hold of a lot of my mental and physical health issues by addressing what was going on in my body. So I do mean more of a natural slash functional medicine side. Is this going to be for everyone? Absolutely not. But if you're someone like me who suffered for years and maybe a lot of the conventional things didn't work out, you might want to consider what is going on in your body and see if that is playing any role. So if you want to focus on something more objective, get some lab results, and actually have these lab results analyzed by practitioners who are trained in this specific modality, then go to fdnthrive.com and click the Get Started Here button. That's fdnthrive.com and click the Get Started Here button.
My daughter Brinley is here at St. Jude. Coming here was literally life or death, and it was so scary. But St. Jude is fighting for one goal, like this one mission, life. And that gave us hope. We haven't received a single bill from St. Jude, so I really can just focus on what's best for Brinley.
Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
And we are back. Welcome to the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with your hosts, Scotty P. and Ev, where we're talking all things mental health all the time. Special guest tonight who is sharing his first experience with mental health. And this is definitely something relatable to so many people. By the way, my name is Evan Transu, a.k.a. Ev. I'm a professional speaker in the youth mental health space.
What's going on, everyone? My name is Scott Prendergast, a.k.a. Scotty P. And I'm a professional inspirational speaker who helps others navigate life through the lens of hope.
All right. It feels good. This has been a while since we had like a full studio. We got two producers. We got my girlfriend, Maddie, in the studio, Scotty P on the mic, and our guest tonight, Mr. Eric Katz, owner of Katz Dogs Canine. Eric Katz, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Health Coach Ev, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm not Health Coach Ev on the show, but I appreciate that. Katz was on a previous radio show that we used to do called the Health Coach Ev Show on here, and he did some ads. If you guys recognize Katz's voice, it's because he's one of our ads on here.
He got to read it. The first one.
Yeah, but man, we like to just jump right into it. That's kind of how Scott and I do this. And so, again, one of the reasons we wanted to bring you on, well, really. I think your story is actually insanely relatable to so many people. Last couple of years, all of a sudden, where did this come from? I've never experienced stuff like this. Even though we talked about it one-on-one, it's not necessarily because of the pandemic per se, right? It could have been something else. But at the same time, I think the way that you handled it too is what everyone should do when they deal with mental health, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. So my first question is, man, just like, you know, what were the first signs and symptoms for you that you started noticing? Because I don't think you recognize them as mental health issues necessarily in the beginning, right? Because you've always been like kind of a pretty mentally stable guy, correct?
Yeah, yeah. Well, first off, thanks for having me on the show tonight, guys. You're setting a high bar, saying this should be relatable and one of the best ones and this and that. But, you know, I'm always down for a good time. So hopefully we get some good laughs in here and, you know, open up, get some pretty raw content here. You know, we live together and it was interesting because you guys maybe struggled with some mental health at a really young age. And, you know, I look back and I just was really happy-go-lucky. Mm-hmm. Like, I just didn't even think, like, mental health issues were a thing. And I don't think it was, like, publicly talked about as much back then. But even, like in high school, no issues. Maybe it's, like, you know, I played sports, working, school. So, you know, it would get a little tired, but nothing really. And even in college, I felt, you know, normal. Obviously, you get your kind of stress mm-hmm. and stuff like that, but didn't think anything what I've experienced in the past maybe couple years or anything like that. So, kind of going now, jumping into your question, you know, I worked all the time. I started my pet sitting business, walking all the time, all day, every day. And I'm just a hustler, as you guys
can confirm. I'll confirm that.
Coming from a hustler himself, yeah. we joke that we're both part robot.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's not something that's good. Yeah.
I think we should definitely advertise that. I like it. I like it a lot.
But you know, definitely a hustler, man.
So we're always nonstop. And then my business was growing, and I was like, how can I take my business to the next level? And it was get this house. So I got my house and I was running my business in the house, and Evan was a fun fact, was a roommate of mine. So
thank you for calling me that instead of a tenant. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we were roommates.
Makes it sound cooler.
So we were roommates for almost about a year, and during that year I was just working all the time. The first thing I'd do in the morning, I'd wake up and go let the dogs out. I basically had my business set up in my basement. I had the Bilco doors. You could walk out, and my backyard was fenced in. So and then the last thing I would do before going to bed was letting the dogs out. So it was always just nonstop go. And you know, I just always worked and didn't think anything of it. And you know, I think burnout started to set in, which I didn't realize was a thing.
Right.
And then, yeah, I think one thing happened to another, and I think that's kind of where, like, looking back now, I was getting some signs, but I just didn't know what it was at that time. I just didn't know.
Yeah, I think it's great, Eric, what you're talking about here, and if you could, talk about what that thought process was like when you started to see some of those initial signs, but you didn't know what it was. Yeah. What was really going through your head, and were you thinking, oh, is it mental health? Were you thinking there was something wrong with you? Kind of talk us through that process, what it was like every day for you.
Yeah, so that like first year, I think in the house, I was fine. Obviously, there were some days where I was just tired or just from working all the time. And then I think it was right around like a Thanksgiving, the first, I moved in like August, so not that in a couple months, but like that following year, so like 13 months later, that Thanksgiving, I kind of got some weird feelings. And I was talking to Ev, like, yo, dude, I don't know what's going on. And he's like, what do you mean? Talk it out. And, you know, I thought, I don't know, I was in a relationship, and I don't know if I was like, what is this weird feeling? Am I maybe working too much and I'm tired and I need a break? Mm-hmm. Is my relationship maybe not what I'm thinking it is? Do I maybe not like this girl? I don't know. So I didn't know what it was. And I kind of just talked to him about it. And then it was just like a week, I feel like maybe a week or two. And then it kind of, I feel like just disappeared. I'm not sure what happened. It kind of just went away. And I was okay. And then it was weird. It was like the same time the next year, like that following Thanksgiving. And I'm like, yo, Evan, this feeling's back. I don't know what's going on, dude. I don't know. And I started to understand. I was like, I think this is, you know, the relationship, and maybe I have to break up with this girl.
Right.
And then also it was now like 2 years in this house of just consistently working. I did everything by myself. I had 7 spots for dogs, and sometimes I had 8, 9, 10 dogs there, and I'm letting all these dogs out and training, and it was
sometimes
just
a little
not
more than that.
Yeah.
All, just to be clear, because I'm not, this isn't funny, like all well taken care of, but yeah, man, you got as many dogs as could be at that
I remember this one time Evan called me, and I was like, yeah, what's up? He's like, dude, you got a damn zoo going on down here.
Cats, dogs, and canines, everybody. Yeah, come on. Check it
like
out.
Barking at Let's each go. Other. And stuff.
Because the laundry was in the basement. So every once in a while, I was walking down there with his blue light blockers on. And then, you know, all the dogs are barking at them and stuff. So, it was about like that second Thanksgiving. And then I started to piece things together. I'm like, I am working too much. And I think that this isn't a relationship that I should be in or want to be in or need to be in, whatever it might be. And everything kind of just started to unravel at that point.
Okay. And and this is what I was talking about with the relatability, because you might not even realize it, right? Because it's not like you're doing this as a job. But when people are talking to us, like friends are coming to us or even family sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. This is the exact thing we always hear, because it's what we experienced. What is this? And we start trying to make these logical conclusions of what it could be. And that's fair. Yeah. Right? Oh, maybe it's burnout. And you know what's even worse for you is like, that's justified. You really were working all, you're still working all the time, you know what I mean? So it's like, that could be fair. Oh, maybe it's that, right? Maybe I'm stressed because of the business and how much I'm putting in. Mm-hmm. And so it's so easy for us to attribute this stuff to normal life things. And then we're like, all right, well, there's nothing I can do about the business right now. I just got to keep going, right? Yeah. And we don't realize that the mental health's getting worse. But to go back to Scott's point, and not to just keep poking at this, but I think this is important for the listeners. You know, you keep describing you knew something was off, but what was the feeling? Because I know, like, as a friend, like, there was some anger, there was some sadness in there. Like, what were those feelings like?
Yeah, it was like nothing I really felt before. And there was all sorts of different symptoms too, like just a short fuse, like something that was so small, and I would get pissed, and I was like, okay, that was not like necessary. I don't know why I did that.
Super nice guy, calm guy normally.
Yep. Just like getting upset and then just like not wanting to do anything. And it wasn't like, oh, I just don't want to let the dogs out. Like, I just don't feel like going here or doing this or doing that. Like, just kind of wanted to sit there on the couch, maybe watch TV. And that's kind of what I thought, like, all right, I'm just tired. I just need to relax a little bit. But I think that was kind of like that burnout and maybe, I guess, depression, maybe setting in.
Yeah, well, I mean, Scott, you know all too well, like myself. I mean, the classic symptom of depression, you know, it's not just losing interest in an activity. It's losing interest in everything. And there's nothing replacing it. It's just like, ah, oh, well, I don't feel like doing anything. And yeah, when you go from like grinding all day, every day, loving these dogs, and you don't even feel like doing that. Yeah, I mean, you want to look for more, but there was more with cats. And like, sure, yeah, that was definitely a telltale sign, excuse me.
Yeah, I think it goes so unnoticed, though, because like you said, you were working so hard. And think about everyone, the average listener here. People have jobs. They're going to school. They're doing so much. And when you do these things, it's natural that you're going to get tired, that you're going to get worn down from the time to time. So I think what's really important for the listener and for everybody to do is, okay, I need to be able to distinguish when this is just burnout, when I'm tired, or wait, these symptoms, they're persistent a little bit more. Something more is going on here. And I think that is really difficult to do. So for you, when did you get to the point where you're like, okay, I know I need to do something now. I know something's wrong here. What was that first step for you that you took kind of towards acknowledgement, towards saying, hey, you know what? I think maybe I need some help. I need to maybe talk about this. I need to bring it up and kind of bring it to light.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it was like that second time around during Thanksgiving. And I think I like just broke up with my girlfriend, or was still trying to like in the process of breaking up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ev's been a close friend of mine, and I know that he's in this space, so it's always been easy for me to call him. Yeah. And there came a point where I was like, I think I was just crying multiple times a day for a few days in a row. And I am a non-emotional person in that fact. Like, I'm weird in a sense. Like, I could go to a funeral and not cry.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I'm just kind of weird like that. And then it was just like any little thing, I'm crying a couple times, and I was like, what is wrong with me? Like, this is not right. And I called Ev, and I'm like, dude, what's going on? And again, it's really, I'm just super grateful to have a friend like Evan, because if I didn't have that person, I don't know who I could talk to have like an outlet in a sense. Yeah. Like, I don't have a lot of super close friends. I have a lot of acquaintances, you know, high school, college, you know, buddy this. But, you know, there are certain, like, I don't know if this is the right word, like resources. Like, if I'm struggling with like mental health or sicknesses, Evan's my guy to call. Yeah. If I got a really interesting dog case and I need another opinion, I can call, you know, a mentor or colleague. If I need help talking about girls, yo, what should I say? You know, I got this buddy, right? So it's like, so it's important. It's important to have someone that you can talk to about it. And it just happens to be that I can be super close with Evan, and Evan knows that he can be super open with me about things. And like, this is just his field.
Right.
And so we talked a lot about that. And, you know, he talked me through some things, which really helped.
If I can, I got to add something in here. Because first of all, thank you, because I appreciate that we can talk like that.
For sure.
But this is a perfect example, because something went really wrong several years ago. And you know who it is. I never mention his name out of respect for the family. I had a really great friend from about the time of 5-6 years old. Mm. And we were friends for almost, I guess that was about 17 years.
Oh, wow.
And he ended up passing away from a drug overdose, like, you know, heroin type stuff. Mm-hmm. And I found out after he passed away that he dealt with years of mental health issues that we never talked about. I never shared with him that I dealt with this stuff.
Yeah.
He never shared with me. This is a guy that I was hanging out with 4 or 5 days a week for literally probably 9 or 10 years at one point, right? As soon as we could do that, I'm getting dropped off. The minute I can drive, we're hanging out all the time. And never once did we have this conversation. And it led to this guy, unfortunately, passing away. Now, of course, I'm not saying one conversation is going to save everything. That's ridiculous, right? That's an oversimplification. But he didn't feel like he could talk to anyone about this. And then we flip that on the other side. If we start having a society where we talk about this stuff, we have a friend right here, Eric, that, yeah, okay, you dealt with this stuff. It kind of went away for a little bit. Next year, it comes back. And relatively quickly after it came on, bam, I know exactly where I can go to. I'm not going to be judged. I'm going to be able to talk about this stuff. Mm-hmm. And who knows what we're able to prevent just by having simple conversations like that. So you don't have to have a mental health story to be that person. You can just be non-judgmental and be a person that people can call, right? So I got to say that on a side note, because this is like the opposite extreme where you have someone that was really new to the symptoms, knowing that they could call a friend, and that you have someone that for 15, 17 years never said a damn word because he didn't think like he could do that.
I know, and I think it really stresses the importance with Eric's story and what we're talking about here on just, you know, being a listener. You know, a lot of times I think we want to offer advice right away. We want to say, how do I fix this? How do I fix that? I'll do this and you'll fix it. Take this magic pill, you'll fix it. Take this course, you'll fix it. But in reality, this stuff, it's a process. It takes time.
Yeah.
But one of the best things you can do is just at first getting it out there, whether it's talking to a friend, just like what we're talking about right here. Maybe it's writing it down, but getting those feelings out in the open so that A, you know you're not alone, and B, you know that there is someone there who cares.
Yeah.
And when you see that human connection, it does wonders for us. It really does. And I think that's a really powerful thing how we're talking about this now with you two having that experience.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Evan was the guy that you were talking to, Eric, which I think is really cool.
For sure. And one other thing I think that's important too. I mean, I'm super lucky to have Evan in my corner because, you know, this is what he deals with, but also like just a therapist, I think is like super important. You know, I have a huge ego. I'm not going to deny that. And like, no, I'm not going to go see a therapist. I'll never talk to one.
Right,
and
right.
When I was going through that and breaking up, my mom and my girlfriend / ex-girlfriend at the time, like, go to see a therapist, go to see a parent. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I'm not. They're like, my mom's like, I'll pay for it. I'll schedule it, whatever. I was like, fine, I'll do it. And I'm so glad I did because, like, you know, I just swallowed my pride. Like, what did I have to prove to everyone? Like,
they already know.
You know, we're all in our masculine frame. Mm. You know, we're men. We can't talk about these things. And it's okay to kind of come out of that and be in your feminine frame at times and talk about your emotions. And I'm glad I went to the therapist because I built, you know, some sort of a bond with him. And this is, you know, someone's profession. And you know, that it's an unbiased opinion, you know, and me and Evan say all the time how we're pretty like, what's the word? Not unopinionated. Like,
I'm definitely opinionated, so I know it's not that.
unbiased
yeah,
in
no,
a
we,
sense.
No, yeah, we do hear all sides. I'm kind of,
yeah. Like, me, like we're not like, well, this is right and that's wrong. Like, I'll maybe tell Evan something and he'll try to see a point from maybe my shoes or the other person's shoes or whatever it is and then try to give a fair point. And I'm kind of that same way I try to be at least. You know, and you might just talk to your friend and they might just tell you what you want to hear and that may not really help you with like, yeah, no, the ex-boyfriend, he was the worst thing ever. And it's like, no, it could have been you really. And he was a good person. You know what I mean? Yeah. So sometimes it could just be like they're blowing smoke, you know? But going to a therapist that like that's their job and just someone to talk to and it's unbiased, I think super important. And you have nothing to lose. And you know, I lucked out being that the first person I talked to was cool. But I've heard other people that didn't like the, or didn't maybe connect or bond with their first person. So it's okay to find a second or third opinion at times and maybe find that person that balances you out or whatever it is. Like, you know, you're going to go in and they have their intake form, but also like you're kind of interviewing them in a sense. So don't feel like, well, every, you know, therapist is perfect. You know, same thing with dogs. Like I may not want to take on every client. Not every client wants me to be their dog trainer, and that's okay. You got to find someone that you feel like you would mesh with, you know, because you got to be open with these people. And if you're holding things back, then you're just really not getting anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you have to be in a space where you're going to be vulnerable. You have to be vulnerable. A lot of times now, I love what you said there about men, the masculinity factor. Me and Ev talk about this all the time. As men, we're really trying to fight that stigma, especially in teenage men that we see a lot, where they don't want to talk about this because they think, oh, I won't be tough, or someone will have something over me. I won't be that macho man I need to be for my girl, or whatever it is. But by breaking down that stigma and understanding that, A, that's not true, and that, B, it is okay to talk about this, because guess what? You're a human. It's not a male or female thing. It's a human thing, and that we all need to talk about this so that we can really get that stuff out into the open. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I know, something I'm really passionate about, actually, because I kind of followed in the footsteps of like my dad and my grandfather. Nothing wrong with these two guys, but they're like the classic stereotypes of just dudes that, you know, and my grandfather was even worse, to be honest, just a very domineering personality. I love this guy, but like he's that grandfather that you picture, you know what I mean? He comes right to the room, he tells you guys what to do, get it done. You love him to death, but you know, he does that and you're never going to hear about what's going on in his day or what's really bothering him. At least I certainly didn't. Mm-hmm. Even though I know at the end of the day, a lot of stuff was bothering him, right? He had some unfair things happen to him in his life that weren't cool. And he never really got to talk about that. So I started embodying that at a young age. And, you know, it's kind of funny because we get this image. I think, let's be honest, heterosexual men do a lot of stuff to just impress women straight up, right? Like most of the stuff we do is to impress women, right?
As his girlfriend's here.
Well, that's what I try to impress her all the time. I'm still trying to. And that's the thing, though, right?
Boogie.
Well, it goes both ways. It goes both ways because women are doing the same thing. Of course, I hate to be so primitive, but like at its core, that's kind of how we really operate as human beings. And the thing is, we get this notion in our head that somehow being emotionless is like a good idea or going to be attractive. The problem is you attract some really toxic people. If you're shutting off a whole side of you, you're going to attract a woman that's shutting off a whole side of her. Then you got a really bad mess on your hands, right? So you can still be a man and have these good qualities that make up great aspects of masculinity while not being literally an emotionless, you know, fake sociopath that's not talking about anything. That's not attractive, right? And the only people it's attractive to are people that are also shutting out or suppressing their own side as well. So I wouldn't recommend it personally.
Absolutely. And I love what you said. And I want to ask you about this, Eric. So I find that a lot of times it could be like a defense mechanism, that whole, oh, I'm not going to let anybody in so that nobody hurts me. I'll wall people out. Well, guess what? When you wall people out, you wall yourself in. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times what we see with mental health is people will act a certain way, whether put on a facade to maybe seem like they don't care or put on this really macho mentality so that that way they know they can't get hurt, or at least they think they can't get hurt. So for you, Eric, did you ever find that when you were struggling with some of the stuff that you tried to, you know, kind of put up a defense mechanism, that you tried to maybe put up a wall at first before you kind of let that down a little bit?
Oh, dude, 100%. And this is maybe the worst it's been in terms of like the mask. So like just recently, I kind of hit it will go in waves for me. Like I'm feeling great. Like this week, last week's been great. But a couple weeks before that was not a great week because of multiple different things. And I literally called Evan on a Friday night or maybe a Saturday. I was like, yo, dude, this
I'm sure, yeah.
I was like, dude, this is not good. And, you know, he's helped me with some different supplements. I don't know if you have to put a disclaimer there.
No, it's not medical advice, but we were talking about this actually last week. I just didn't mention your name, right? Because it's just out of respect, but you were one of the people in my head as I was listing off, like for some people, you know, it might be more of a biological thing because the fact of the matter is when you and I were talking, the reason we took more of a health route is because, yeah, I mean, you were dealing with some stuff with the breakup, all these things, right? But we kind of identified with like, I was already in the relationship. I already had the business. This is coming out of nowhere. Like, what's happening here? I mean, I think the proof is in the pudding because you started using these things and you've been feeling really good the last couple of weeks, right? Which is, thank God for that.
Yeah, for sure. So, like, I was, you know, Evans gave me a certain protocol for me to follow, and I would follow it for a little bit, and I feel pretty good, and then I would fall off, and it would kind of come back, right? So, balancing that scale. And you know, Evan always says like he wants to work with clients that are super committed and that are really struggling, that they're going to fight through it. And I've kind of been like, as Evan says, I may have some extra cash, so I'll do this test or that test and not really like super sick. And that just hit me this most recent time around where it's like, I feel so bad. I got to stick to it. And I've been the most consistent with these supplements that I've been in a while and I feel great. And I remember it was even like 2 or 3 days. He's like, yo, you sound great. And I'm like, dude, this is the most consistent I've been.
And that's the best, man. Yeah.
And it was cool because it only was a few days later that those supplements work. And I'm not saying that's probably what's going to happen for everyone. But my, you know, I don't know if my case is super extreme. So when I can get additional help, that those things help. So kind of going back to your point about putting a wall up or a mask. And, you know, I used to do everything by myself. When I would have those hard days, I could sit on the couch, watch TV, and do what I needed to do, the minimum for the dogs, let them out, feed them, walk them, whatever I needed to do. And then I can go relax and watch TV and hang out. And dude, now I got this facility. I have 10 plus team members and I have a staff. So
yeah, baby,
you know, I gotta be the boss, the head honcho, and look how hard he's working and this and that. So when I'm like not feeling it, and like then the team comes in and they're going, and I'm like, I don't want to be here today.
Right.
You know, I can't let them see that. Right. So I'm putting up like this mask, this wall. And then I was telling how I called Evan on a Friday night. Well, the Thursday night, one of my like team leaders was like, yo, are you all right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Why? He's like, you just don't seem into it. Mm. And like, you know how much that hurts? Being like, this is your business. This is your pride and joy. And now you have one of your employees being like, you're not into it. And this is your business. And this is your passion. And I'm like, it just hit different. And
yeah.
I was like, no, I'm good. And then later that night, I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm not. And then Friday came around and it wasn't a great day either. And then that's where I hit up Evan. Supplement protocol got strict. So, you know, and now kind of going back to the wall part, I pulled him aside that next week. And I was like, yo, I got to talk to you about something. And we basically talked for an hour because he struggles with his own things also. And I'm like, you've always been so open with me. And I haven't been that with you. And I want to tell you that I actually have been struggling a little bit. And it's been hard for me to get here or to be here. And he's like, yeah, man, you got nothing to hide. And I was open with him. And that just made us like that much closer.
There you go.
You know what I mean? That made us that much closer because he's talked to me about certain things and I've really never talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a huge week. You know, I had different conversations with different friends and team members. And that was just a great week. I was feeling really good. The energy was awesome. My connection with friends and team members got so much closer because I've kind of had this wall up. And I haven't been super open because I'm like the boss and everything starts from the top down. So if I show weakness, I don't know, I guess it's an ego thing, I guess, maybe going back to. And then I opened up to them and was like, hey, this is what I'm going through. I just want to know because you've been here for me. You're there for me. I can be there for you. And I had that conversation with a couple other people and it just went so well. Like all the support, like, dude, if you need to take a day off, just take a day off.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just, it's really cool to be able to surround yourself with people like that.
I saw that smile. You're like, beach day, baby. Let's go.
Beach day in the winter.
Yeah. Cats, dogs, and canines down at the shore. Come on, holla at us real quick. Let's go.
Yeah. No, but man, again, I can't stress enough. And Scott, like you get it because you work in the space as well. Like this story, I mean, I'm sorry that you dealt with this, obviously, but it's like, wonderful in a sense. I mean, every box, just like bam, 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 cool. Start talking to people about this, right? Yeah. Have that trusted friend that you can go to, whatever that might be, or sorry, whoever that might be. Go to the therapist. I mean, this is great. We only got about a minute and a half left in this segment here, but I want to definitely continue this. I absolutely want to talk more about like the experience with the therapist, how things have been going now, and other things. But Scott, do you have anything quick before we head out?
Yeah, one of the things I just want to touch on that I love that Eric brought up here is he touched on the different sides of things that have worked for him. He talked about he went to a therapist. He talked about he was doing some supplements. He talked about he was opening up to friends and even people that he wasn't, you know, didn't think he would open up to, he started talking to them. So we have multiple different avenues here that you were doing, that you were using to help you. And I think what's important to note is that everybody's journey to recovery is a little bit different. It's not the same for me as it is for Eric, as it is for Evan. It's different for every single person. And acknowledging that, realizing it takes some time, it takes some effort, and that it may not work right away, that's a really important first step to getting yourself in a position where you can really start to overcome some of these challenges.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I think it's important to say, because even, it's unfortunate, I think it's gotten better for me over the years, but I was very passionate about what worked for me in the beginning. So I was talking about functional natural health, and people made this assumption, and maybe I was coming across strong at the time, I'm not sure, but there was this assumption that, oh, I must be against everything else. I'm like, dude, I don't give a damn what you do, man. If you're struggling with this stuff as someone who's been through it, I want whatever route's going to be the quickest for you to feel better with the least amount of side effects, right? Mm-hmm. What I really don't like is the world of like if someone got you on a medication, which by the way, as a friend, didn't I say it'd be good to talk to a doctor at one point and consider that, right? I mean, I'm the first one to say it.
Yeah.
But we need to ask, why is Eric Katz all of a sudden dealing with this stuff when he hadn't dealt with it before? So hey, we're going to continue this conversation with our guest, Eric Katz, right after these quick commercial breaks.
Find Yourself Boxes was created to foster the connection between a person and those in life who may be working through mental health challenges by providing curated and customizable boxes filled with research-backed wellness products that promote healing. Coupling personal experience with professional mental health guidance, Find Yourself Boxes meets people where they are on their journey. Wellness doesn't look the same for every person, and these products are packaged together to touch various aspects of our wellness spectrum. Find your healing with Find Yourself Boxes at findyourselfboxes.com, and you can get 20% off your first purchase. Does the pandemic have your hair looking a little funky? Are people stopping and staring and glancing at you as you walk down the street? Folks, come on now. Hair salons, they've been open for a while. It's time to get your hair cut. You've definitely been procrastinating. I know my producer has. And when you do it, you should head to Hair and Visions in Ottsville, PA. Hair and Visions is open Tuesday through Saturday. They specialize in coloring and also offer keratin treatments that give your hair a smooth finish. Hair and Visions offers haircuts for all ages, so you can bring the whole family. Schedule your appointment today by calling 610-847-8894. Again, that is 610-847-8894. And tell them that Scotty P and Health Coach Ev sent you.
If you're looking to get more TMS, ketamine, and Spravato patients, then 7-Figure Psych is for you. Beyond Marketing's flagship 7-Figure Psych business development and marketing system helps mental health professionals to attract, schedule, and convert new patients into care. Join a community of like-minded business professionals and automate your entire online presence. Visit these guys at 7figurepsych.com. That's the number 7figurepsych.com. Guys, cancer is a word that most of us know all too well. And as is the case for so many other conditions, Western medicine is a miraculous yet incomplete form of treatment for those who are suffering. But what if there was a place in our community that helped meet the many other needs for cancer patients? Well, that's exactly what my aunt, Corinne Sikora, envisioned. And now you can help make that vision come to life. The Corinne Sikora Wellness and Support Center is designed to be a comforting space for all cancer patients across Bucks County. This center will help these individuals meet their emotional, social, physical, and lifestyle needs that are essential pieces of one's healing journey. Because of people like you, this center will be able to offer a multitude of completely free services to local patients and their families. A large vision like this needs all the support it can get, and you can help today. Go to CorinneSikoraCenter.org and click the donate button. That is CorinneSikoraCenter.org. S-I-K-O-R-A, Corinne Sikora, center.org, and click the donate button. And we are back. Welcome to the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with your hosts, Scotty P. and Ev, where we're talking all things mental health all of the time. Special guests in studio today. We got my girlfriend, Maddie, at Maddie's Painted Pets on Instagram. Ooh, little shout out. And our guest, Mr. Eric Katz of Katz Dogs Canine. Doing an awesome job, man. Friend of both Scott and mine. Just really sharing a fully transparent story about how he started dealing with mental health symptoms for the first time, starting around 2 years ago. And so much of this story I know from talking to people in this space is definitely relatable, definitely helpful. By the way, my name is Evan. I am a professional speaker in the youth mental health space.
And hello, everyone. My name is Scott Prendergast, aka Scotty P, and I help others navigate life through the lens of hope.
Cool. So we're on our final segment. you want to go?
And I'm Eric Katz, professional dog trainer.
All right.
Of so cats, dogs, canines.
Yes.
Yeah, we're having fun on a Friday night. That's for sure. Making the best out of the mental health conversation.
Absolutely.
But our last segment here, we got about 13, 14 minutes left in the show. Eric, again, has just been sharing so much great stuff. So a few random questions just off the top of my head that I think would be important for people. You know, you mentioned in part two how therapy was something that, yeah, you didn't really want to go to at first, right? There was like this, you use these words, almost like this male ego around it. And then you went and not only realized it's helpful, but it's effective. I'm curious, like, how was the experience going to this therapist different than what you expected? Because I know as a friend, it actually really helped you. You liked this person, right?
Yeah. So actually, it started out as couples therapy.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't know. This was.
I'm glad that's funny.
I don't know. Maybe because we're young or something. But yeah, you know, we were breaking up, and then I don't know if this was like a. No, we got to do this. Maybe this will fix the relationship. And, you know, maybe it would have, or I don't know. So when we went, it was just kind of an open platform where I could kind of say what I wanted to say. And there was an unbiased, like, auditor there, like, okay, that's fair what he said. Or like, all right, that was kind of out of line. Or, hey, let him talk. Right. So it's kind of open ground. And so it started as couples therapy for a couple sessions. And then when I was going, it was kind of being made more and more clear that, like, okay, what I'm saying without the therapist originally was not right, and now I'm able to be here and voice what I have to say in a more proper manner. And it made more clear that I shouldn't be in this relationship. And it was also like a safe space for me because I felt that sometimes I couldn't be open or honest with her because it would just like maybe hurt her feelings or whatever, and I'm such a people pleaser, and it's not always what you want to hear. And that's like a flaw of mine, right? So just kind of saying what I had to say. After that, then I started doing like individual sessions with him, and it was cool because we had like the little backstory. And then, you know, I'll do like refreshers. I haven't talked to him in months, but there was a point where I didn't talk to him for months, maybe spring, and then it was fall, and I'm like, all right, I'm going into a funk. I don't know what to do. I call Evan, like, yo, what's going on? He talks to me. I'm like, let me hit up my therapist and kind of do things. So I get really proactive about it. Yeah. And when I talked to him, there was three things. there was issues that I was feeling, and then there was exactly three things that I needed to do to address it. And I didn't know what those three things were, or that there was three things, but when I talked to the therapist and just saying what I had to say, then it's like, okay, well, one, two, and three are your reasons why you're feeling that way. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. And I addressed all three reasons, and then I started feeling better. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how cool is that, right? So yeah. People end up thinking that, I think this is getting better, but like there's like this stigma that this is for like people with like severe issues, right? That are like completely off the rocker. They go to a therapist. It's like, dude, right. I think everyone should have to go like once a year just to check in. Yeah. Have someone, because we don't always get a chance to really talk to ourselves objectively. And when we're talking to the therapist, they don't have a bias towards us necessarily. I mean, no. I'm sure everyone has some bias, but not a major one. So they're like, like you said, wait a second, man, that doesn't make sense. Or stop talking over her, or yo, stop talking over him. You know what I mean? Like they can kind of moderate that and control that even for ourselves and our own you know, voice that we have our conversations with in our head. I'm sure you guys, I have like five of those. But it's probably not funny on a mental so I'll get kicked off the air. Scott, I'll send it to you.
No, I think it was very appropriate. I liked it. And Eric, one of the things I wanted to ask you, so with going to therapy and all the things that you've gone through, your awareness has been increased in everything. Do you find that now you're able to better recognize when some of those symptoms start creeping up again?
Oh, 1,000%. I know it right away. Like there's a difference between, all right, I feel tired versus like, no, something is not right here. And it will all I notice when I'm not doing as well, I've way higher fatigue. Like it'll be the middle of the day, 1, 2, 3 o'clock-ish. And I'm like, damn, I'm tired. I need to take a break, or maybe don't want to be at work at that minute or whatever. And I notice when I'm kind of on my game, supplements are good or just not in a bad place. I can go throughout the day without really blinking twice and just going. So that's something is a big one. And then just the non-motivation, you know, it's super important to find something you're passionate about, because I know that if I was working like a 9-to-5 or just doing some business that just made me a lot of money, I would have thrown it into the towel a while ago, because I would have thought, okay, it's the business. I hate it. I want to get out. I want to do something different. Mm-hmm. But like my passion is so strong for dogs. So even when I'm having those really dark times, moments, days, whatever it is, weeks, and I'm like, I don't really want to be around the dogs. I don't want to be at work. I know deep down I really do, but there's some emotion over me that is clouding me. And I know once I get that all that pushed aside and the sun shines through, I'm feeling good. And I'm like, yes, I love it. I love the dogs. I love my team. I love the facility. I love doing what I do. But again, if I was just doing it because, oh, I got really good money, I'd be like, nah, I'm done with this, you know? But I know that's what my passion is and what my purpose is. And that helps me get through those really hard days.
Yeah, love it. That's awesome. What Steve Jobs said. He said, you got to love what you do, because any rational person would quit. You know what I mean? It's so hard. That's it's so hard,
it really
right?
It is. Yeah.
I even look at with the speaking stuff, like it takes years to get into that, right? It took years to get to where you're at now, right? And any rational person that's not in love with this is going to quit. Of course. Why wouldn't you, right? It's just, there's no guarantee that it's going to happen. There's no guarantee you're getting a speaking gig or that you're going to have a good business. So I think that's cool. But I threw the last question. Was that you?
I threw the last question on, but you want to go back?
We typically do go back and forth. What's one thing that you would say to people, cats out there, that might not really feel like they can talk about this right away? Because I'm not sure. It sounds like, I appreciate, you know, you being kind as a friend, but I'm sure it was more than just myself that made you feel like you could talk about this stuff right away. So for someone out there that's just like the people sitting in this room dealing with this stuff for the first time, it's like, I can't believe he talked about this so early. Like, what would your advice be for them if you have any?
Can you repeat the question? Like, what would, reword it?
Sure. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'm not the brightest bulb.
No, we're not doing any of that negative self-talk out here.
Switch that around. This dude's got like the highest IQ I know, all right?
We're going to switch that around to some positive self-talk right now. I want to hear it. And his chair just sunk down.
I was going to warn him before the show, too. For those listening and not watching them, we just had another chair incident. That's a pretty common theme on the Friday Mental Health Power Hour. Yeah. Wouldn't even matter if we weren't on video.
See, you talk bad about yourself, you just start going down.
Right there. See? Case in point.
What I was trying to say is, because, you know, maybe I should reword it, because I don't know if you'd realize this. Like, many people, cats, don't talk to someone about this immediately after feeling this stuff. So my question is, like, what advice would you give someone? Because, you know, you're a normal dude, man. You got tons of friends. You're a cool guy. You know, someone people can look up to. So a lot of people are intimidated. They feel like people are going to judge them or whatever. So what would your advice be to someone who's suffering with this stuff but not really feeling comfortable to talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe a big one is just self-reflecting, like realizing when you are who you aren't, in a sense. Like, I'm usually okay, or like maybe not as up and going as much as I am, but if you feel like, okay, I'm not feeling myself, that could be a red flag right there to maybe start thinking something about it. And it could just be as simple as like maybe Googling something or YouTube, like trying to put yourself in a better mindset, or if I'm struggling with mental health or depression, or, you know, maybe just, you know, if you don't have a lot of friends or a close friend or someone that you could relate to, reaching out to maybe someone that it is their job to do that.
Yeah. And it Absolutely. Really can be that simple. You know, it actually should be that simple. Shouldn't it be some super complicated thing? I would take that advice, and I hope people take that to heart.
Yeah. I think what we have to understand with mental health is that it is something that every single person deals with, and it is something that it doesn't have to be such a big extravagant circus. I think sometimes when people hear mental health, you gotta think, okay, well, that means we immediately gotta go on SSRIs, that means we gotta go to a therapist right away, we gotta do this. Start with one step.
Yeah.
Just one little thing. Maybe opening up to somebody. It doesn't have to be such a long thought out process. It can turn into that, yes. And you may get really into it where you say, hey, now I want to do this. I want to do that. But start with just one little baby step. One little thing that is out of your comfort zone, and really focus on honing that skill and doing that, whatever it looks like for you. I think when you do that, it's going to open up a world of a lot of different things that are going to help you to see things from a different perspective. And when we get that different perspective, ooh, look out. That's when really good things start to happen. Mm-hmm. And we start to really break free from what's holding us back.
Yeah, I think momentum is important. Just like, all right, like I don't feel like myself. What can I do? Okay, let me open up. Now I opened up. Let me research. Okay, let me talk to this person. And you can kind of get that ball rolling.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why I think, you know, maybe movies or TV shows, but they think of the therapist and they're laying on that leather couch and they're like, I'm going to, you know, and Evan's brought up some really good points that, like, you know, thinking that like mental health or depression is I always want to kill myself or something like that. And I've never really had thoughts like that, but I know that like I'm just not myself or feeling as energetic or as positive as possible. Mm-hmm. So just because you're like, all right, well, it's either I'm happy or I kill myself. Like, it doesn't have to be that. There can be some middle ground where it's like, I'm just not where I used to be. Why am I feeling like that? And getting some help there. So maybe things don't get worse, right? Mm-hmm. Because just like you're not going to get better in a day or two or a week or two, you know, you're not going to get worse that fast easily. So it takes time. And like I said, I was getting little stints of it over a couple years until I'm like, all right, now there's actually an issue here.
Yeah, and that's a really important point. That's a whole episode in and of itself. We might have to do that one time because I have it in my speeches and I wrote in my book that I had an idea in my head of what depression was as a teenager. I thought it was three things. I thought it was people who laid in bed all day, people who cried their eyes out uncontrollably, mm-hmm. and people who stopped hanging out with friends and family. And it's even worse when we're kind of right. Because if I was just flat out wrong, you'd figure that out eventually. I wasn't wrong per se. I was kind of right that it can be those things. It could be all of them, but it doesn't have to be any of them. Right. No one ever said to me, hey, this is the reason one day you don't have any appetite, but the next day you have a normal appetite. Or this is the reason that you're exhausted in the middle of the day, like you said, but I'm not really sleeping well either. Because I know that you had that issue, right? Like it wasn't restful sleep. You know, you're just kind of like, hey, I got my 8 hours, but I still feel like crap. Like it's just not good.
Yeah, no, that was, that's what I knew was a red flag too, because I work so hard in so many hours, like, you know, some days, some weeks, 70, 80, 90, 100 hour weeks, and I should be exhausted passing out. And I would get little weird feelings where I'm like, yo, I don't want to go to bed.
Mm.
And I think it would be like, I don't want to go to bed because I don't want to wake up the next day and then I have to go to work and do X, Y, da, 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 da. Mm. So I thought, okay, well, if I don't get to bed, I just prolong this day a little longer and I can lay here and watch videos. And next thing you know, I went from 10:45 till 12 in the morning. And now you are tired the next day and then you are fatiguing throughout the day. And it's kind of just a weird vicious cycle. So, and you know, I'm not perfect now either. And I still have my times and my stints where I'm doing really good or I'm not doing as well. So it's not like I've got it all figured out. Like, this is something I'm still almost, I guess you could say, battling, you know, quote unquote, in a sense, right? So, and one other point that I wanted to touch on that Evan, you know, told me that was really interesting is, I think when people think of like depression or those types of things, you think crying and I'm upset and, you know, like I had that little 1 week stint where I was crying all the time. And Evan told me that, you know, maybe that's common more so for females.
I've definitely seen it more in that. But for men, it can be.
Exactly. So for men, you just feel like unemotional. And that's how I feel sometimes. And that's where I'm like, nah, it's not right because I'm super passionate and happy, lucky, and just going. And there will be times where I'm like, I don't want anything to do. I don't want to work. I don't want dogs. I don't want X, Y, Z. And, that for me is my red flag, and that was really important that Evan will bring up those little things for me.
Yeah, Cats, man, this hour has absolutely flown by. I'm being serious. Thank you, first of all, for coming out on a Friday night, sharing this with people, because again, it's wonderful when we get to bring on these credentialed people or people who have been speaking forever. Sometimes it's just nice to have a real person on that can really relate to people. So I know that your business isn't related to mental health, but really quick, we got about 20 seconds for this. Can you just shout out what you do and where you're at for people?
Yeah, so for those of you that are on the radio, I'm repping my Cats Dogs canine gear as per usual. So basically, we're located out of Perkasie. We do dog boarding. So if you're going to go away on vacation, we do daycare. If you're working all day, drop your dog off. We got grooming for nice haircut, and we got training from, you know, puppy stuff to crazy aggressive dogs trying to bite me.
And that's catsdogscanine.com, right?
Correct. Yep. Facebook, Instagram, email, website, everything.
Yeah, that's K-A-T-Z-D-O-G-S-K, the letter K, 9.com. And you can hear that on the ad. All right. If this is your first time tuning into the show, we always start with Ev and we finish with Scotty P. So Scott, take us home, please.
Take us home.
Awesome. Well, real quick, thank you so much, Eric, again for joining us. I appreciate it. So for the listeners out here, before you get your weekend started today, I want to start that I hope everybody stays safe because I know a lot of snow's coming. Everyone stays safe. But if there's one thing that we learned from this episode today, it is that mental health is something that affects people from all backgrounds. Anybody can be affected by mental health. But the beauty in that is that anybody can seek help for it too. But it's about finding that and acknowledging that mental health in your life and deciding that you are going to take a stand and make a decision to say, hey, I'm going to seek some help. I'm going to make a change in my life today. And I'm not going to allow this depression, this anxiety, this OCD, this bipolar to kick me around anymore, but I'm going to seek help for it. And I think that is one thing that we can all take from this episode today is realizing the importance of that. And I think above all else, what I want the listener to do right now is take a look at your life, whatever your situation is, whether it's good, whether you're happy, sad, or in a really dark place, whatever it is, but reflect on where you're at right now in your life. Reflect on the feelings that you had today. Reflect on what feelings that were really dominating your mind today. Reflect on what feelings you wanted to feel but didn't feel. Take note of all that. Understand that. And start to really say, hey, okay, what's going on here? Identify those feelings and then make a plan on how you can attack it the next day to see those feelings that you want to really come into your life. Now, as we talked about on the show, this is not going to happen overnight. You know, if you're listening to the show thinking, hey, tomorrow I'm going to be great and have no more issues with mental health ever, you're wrong. I'm going to tell you, you're wrong. It is a process. But if we can start to identify it, we can start to reflect, we can seek help, we feel comfortable to seek help. When we start to do these little steps day by day, we're going to start to see some changes in our lives. And it's nothing that you can't do. You don't have to be a professional speaker like me or Ev to do it. You don't have to own a business like Eric. You can be anybody to be able to do this stuff each and every day, so that you can start to find some of that happiness again in your life. Because at the end of the day, we all want that relief from ourselves sometimes, right? That's really important for us. Well, you get that relief by putting in that work through those positive affirmations, through that positive self-talk, and above all else, I think my favorite thing, just talking to someone else about it.
Wonderful, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with Scotty P. and Ev, where we're talking all things mental health all of the time, sharing lived experiences from individuals who have actually gone through these challenges. Scotty, where can people find you?
Everybody check me out at www.scottypinspiration.com or Instagram at scottyp_inspo.
You can find me at evantransu.com or at evan_transu on Instagram. Our guest, Eric Katz, at catsdogscanine on Instagram, catsdogscanine.com. My girlfriend, Maddie, at Maddie's Painted Pets on Instagram. Catch the replay anytime by searching for the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with Scotty P and Ev on any major podcast platform. And we'll see you next week right here on WWDB 860 AM and 97.5 FM HD2. Have a great and safe weekend, everyone.
Much love.